It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hi, folks. It's Mike the Ref here on the road back from the CWC King of the Mountain show from the Abbey Master Builders Center in Black Falls, Alberta. Another one of these lovely car ride shows. So, pretty decent crowd considering all the circumstances behind the show. I'm sure most wrestling fans don't want to get involved in politics, so I'll just leave those aside right now. But I would have to say we had about 250 strong here at the Abbey Master Builder Center for what turned out to be a rather good card, considering the nature of what happened in terms of being thrown together at the last minute. But let's get to the matches here. First off, we had the Wrecking Crew of Dynamic Dean Richter and the headline Sean Martins taking on the former MPW Tag Team Champions, the Shark Club, Tyler James and the Real Deal Sydney Steele. Now, there has been a lot of familiarity with these four considering their history in MPW as well as in certain respects in PPW as well when it comes to Martins and Steele here. Now, most of the match you had the Wrecking Crew in full control due to their cheating ways. In the end, a distraction on Tyler James ends up receiving a, I'm calling it a car wreck, the belly-to-backside exploder with the neckbreaker attachment finisher of the Wrecking Crew for the 1-2-3. And they, essentially, since these two have been put together, they've been undefeated. And the general has admitted that they are the favorites to become the one of the two teams in the General's Invitational to a crown inaugural CWC Tag Team Champions. I wonder who that other team's going to be. I would think Shark Club had a hell of a shot at it, but after that loss, I'm not really sure. But moving on from there, our second match of the evening had the chairman of the CWC, Johnny Kickass, taking on Xander Pride, making his return after that huge victory over the Big Sexy Beast, Bradley Graham, 2 months ago. Now, this is what you would sort of expect from two bigger guys. Price likes to have a lot of fun, and he was goofing around for the early part of this match. And Johnny was having none of it. And it really cost Price through many parts of his path. Sorry, folks, temporary pause there. Big point in this match, Price manages to get the advantage after taking some vicious shots from Johnny. Ends up getting what he calls his sex bomb, which is his version of the full Nelson sit-out powerbomb made famous by Bubba Ray Dudley. So he hooks him up, he hits it, but with a spin, and that spin managed to hit referee Derek Law. Unfortunately, that means that there's no referee to make the count. As Xander Price is trying to revive the referee, Johnny Kickass grabs his chair and ends up walloping him in the head with the chair. I haven't seen that many headshots lately in wrestling, and it still sickens me to see one of those today. I'm surprised that Price didn't get split open. But then Kickass perches Price on the second rope, sneaks underneath, hits that power bomb that he has made so famous. Didn't have the strength to get the second one in, but it still was enough to get the 1-2-3 and a victory for the chairman. Now, following that, we had a 15-man gauntlet battle royal for the newly minted Alberta Championship. From what I hear, is considered the mid-card title of the promotion. However, the general said something about it being able to be cross-promoted and taken to multiple promotions. I'm going to have to confer with the head office about that. I did have a lot of communication with the head office here, just trying to get my own answers while the general is working at ringside. So 15 people, and yes, I have to say people, not men here, folks, but I'll get to that in a moment. 1 minute intervals, only elimination was over the top rope and both feet touching the floor. So you had Dylan Stone and Maniac start out. You got Skylar Paris Austin in at three. Whole schmoz of people coming in throughout. You had the Shark Club in there. You had the Wrecking Crew. The Shark Club ends up taking out the Wrecking Crew, and then the Big Sexy Beast, Bradley Graham, at number nine, manages to take out both members of the Shark Club. Another point in this match, I believe Johnny Kickass came in at number 12. The Irishman came in at number 11. The Irishman was attempting to clothesline Lumberjack Larry, missed, and Johnny Kickass got the Santino Marella treatment as he gets into the ring and gets instantly clotheslined to the outside to be eliminated from the match. These tag team partners are not seeing eye to eye right now. That is more than apparent. And I really wonder if they're going to be able to stay together as a tag team. So, but I have to say, outside of the finish, one of the strangest things that's set up there is entrant number 14, which ended up being Angelica. And, well, let's face it, folks, a woman entering a men's match in Alberta, let's say that a lot of fans don't believe it. This crowd was eating it up. They wanted her in there. Hell, I wanted her in there because I think she's stronger than half the roster. But Kato at number 15, who ended up getting the lucky number, comes out, sort of attacks Angelica, gets on the mic, says she doesn't need to be here, get the back, basically every male chauvinistic thing that has been seen in wrestling over, well, 1980s and past, which is where I'm pretty sure that mustache on Kato came from. Angelica ends up decking Kato and walking to the back. I'm going to get to the final result of her status in that match following my description of the whole thing here. In the end, you had the Irishman and Dylan Stone. The Irishman got eliminated by, out of nowhere, Kato dumps him over the top rope. Kato was hiding underneath the ring and using his pet snake. I don't know, folks. His pet snake out to check out the match there. So pulled a little Jerry the King Lawler action there. Comes into the ring. Ends up eliminating the Irishman. And then he apparently eliminates Dylan Stone. But Stone manages to skin the cat. Gets the leg scissors on Kato and ends up pulling him to the outside, making Kato's feet touch first, and the victory and the new CWC Alberta champion is Dylan Stone. Now, I really am wondering how this is going to go from here, folks. Hard-earned victory. He lasted over 20 minutes in that matchup. Came in at number one, survived 14 other guys, and became the champion. And in what I would say, as much as I hate battle royals, this wasn't that bad of a match here, folks. But now we went to intermission, then coming back, this is where I was talking about earlier with the Angelica line. I talked to the head office over intermission here about what was going on. Angelica had signed up to be a part of this Gauntlet Battle Royal. I'm just going to call a spade. The referees blew the call here. The referees did not honestly believe that the women should be involved in this matchup, which just goes back to my Alberta thinking here that we really need to clue in people that women are strong enough to take out the men in many different aspects, and they are hell of a bunch of athletes, and Angelica is second to none when it comes to the women's division of wrestling in Alberta. She's not going to take a back seat to anybody. But I've been promised by the CWC head office that, first of all, yes, they're going to admit that it was a mistake. Yes, they're going to talk to their referees and make sure that this issue does not happen again. And three, they're going to make sure that things are done right by them for her. They would not explain to me what it would be or how it would happen. But you know what? I have a little bit more faith in the CWC head office than some other offices that I've been communicating with in previous months here. So now Angelica comes out. She is scheduled in a match against KJ Cash, making her one-on-one debut in Alberta. She was involved in a Fatal 4-Way on the MPW Candidate Show, and apparently had the pin on Sexy Sam the Champion there. From reports I'm getting in following that last quick calls, it seems the wrestling mind was a little off in his storytelling of that matchup. Apparently, I'm just getting rough details here and there from numerous people. Apparently, Sexy Sam was pinned by KJ Cash, but there was no referee watching the count. And I don't know why exactly. I gotta wait for the video to come in. But she now has an opportunity here to take on one of the two other opponents for the championship at that show in Angelica. Now, I gotta admit, KJ Cash was really quick in this match. She was full of adrenaline. Stick in, stick out, quick in, quick out. That's what you want to do when you're the smaller person in the group. But it seemed that things got a little bit out of control for her, and the match got sped up to a point where she couldn't control the pace herself and ultimately got disqualified after being frustrated with referee Ken Kine repeatedly pulling her out of the corner. It was a very big rookie mistake, and I have no doubt that she's going to learn from it and continue to grow. I find that this match will be the start of something a lot bigger between these two. I can almost guarantee it at this point. But following the match, now Angelica is known for her strength in the women's division, but she also had some great technique there. Managed to avoid an attack by KJ, scoops her up, and hits her with the Davey Boy Smith style power slam, just cementing the fact that the fight between these two is definitely not over. And then from there, we go on to our main event. We got Chris Parrish defending the CWC Championship against Jack Pride. Now, Pride has taken many opportunities from Parrish, and he's had Match of the Night candidates, and I can't say this is any different. But the violence in this match went to another level that I haven't seen in CWC in a very long time, if ever, for the terms I've been covering it. Some of the highlights of this match were a boom drop, leg drop onto a ladder onto Parrish by Jack Pride, an Irish whip, from Jack Pride into Chris Parrish into the ladder, so face first as the ladder was perched lengthwise against the top rope. Rather disgusting spot. Parrish ended up bleeding. I think this is one of the first times that I've seen blood at a CWC match. But one of the determining factors in this match was Maniac. At the beginning of the match, he comes out with his, I'd say master. I don't want to say what Maniac seems to be in that position, but I'll digress at that point. All of a sudden, Pride takes Parrish to the outside and hits him with a top rope poncha. Gets up to celebrate, and Maniac just levels him with a clothesline. Now, while there is no DQ in a ladder match, they can escort Maniac to the outside and to the back. And I think it was a very good call on behalf of the referees. A little bit of justification after that little screw-up with Angelica there in the Battle Royal. And the turning point in this match is when Parrish ends up getting hit with a elbow from the top of a ladder by Jack Pride. Ends up rolling to the outside onto a preset ladder, which Parrish is the one that put it up there. Pride all of a sudden gets some flash bulbs in his head, sets up to go for another elbow from the top of a ladder onto Parrish through the ladder. I guarantee you that would have finished Parrish off. But out of the blue, here comes Maniac, who ends up goozling Jack Pride and basically hip-tossing him through the ladder. Broke that ladder in half. I hope they got that ladder from Costco. Maybe they get a warranty out of it, but my God, was that a shot. From there, it was almost academic. One of the biggest spots I saw in this match was Parrish hitting the parachute off the ladder, bringing Pride down. But in the end, Parrish gets up and claims that title for his own. Now, I have been very critical of Jack Pride here over the last few months. And you know what? I was going to say here that, you know, he really doesn't deserve it, but to hell with that. He deserves it big time here. Every month he ends up losing a little bit more, a little bit more. And he needs to find a way to get himself to that next level, because he hasn't found that gear. As much as he's put his heart into this match here, he needs to find a way to overcome the odds, because he's better than this. I don't know. I don't know what the best way to put it is here, folks. But Pride's just missing something right now. Missing that oomph, that final killing spirit. Maybe this fear of God or what happened after the match might help out. Parrish basically comes out and cuts a promo about how he is now the king of the CWC. And Maniac once again is on his knees around Parrish, but I'll leave all the jokes aside on that one. Basically says that Jack Pride is now in his rear view. Doesn't need to deal with him, and is going to walk out with his title. I could see his point to a point. You know, when you beat somebody as many times as he's beaten Pride in 2017... there isn't much more you can do, right? So from there, Pride gets into the ring, has the mic. Well, actually, before that, my apologies. They claim they're going to finish up Pride once and for all. They set up for their tag team finisher, known as Help, the struggle to a Essentially, it's this equivalent to a... it's essentially a facebuster by Maniac at the same time that Parrish comes across with a running knee. It's hard to explain, folks. You actually got to see how they give help to everybody. But before they can hit it, Dylan Stone gets into the ring for the save. And by then, Pride finally gets his senses up. Well, sort of. And demands that he get his final one-on-one rematch. This guy's got more rematches than Christian did when he won the world title. But that's another point aside. So the struggle get together. They think about it. They discuss it amongst themselves. They've decided that they're going to put up the title. That's fine. Parrish will put it up next month. But if he's going to put up the title, Pride has to put out his hair. So it's going to be a hair versus title match, which Jack Pride agreed to, coming up at the next show, September 30th, at Festival Hall in Red Deer. My goodness, what a match that is going to be. I really do hope that the kid finally has enough chutzpah to muster enough strength together to actually overcome the odds and win the CWC championship. It is a title that he feels he's deserved. Most of the fans feel like he's deserved. Me, on the other hand, well, if you're going to keep losing like this, unless you could show me something, kid, that you didn't show me before, I'm sorry, but my money's still going to have to go on Parrish, as much as I hate saying that. But all right, folks, time for my match of the night and surprise of the night. Well, my match of the night, it's going to have to go to that main event, folks. One thing I did notice, and I brought up on the broadcast with the Cheetah Bear, is the fact that Chris Parrish is what they consider in wrestling terms as a heat magnet. You could feel the tension level rising as he arrived into the match. And that moment where it was apparent that Parrish was going to win the CWC championship in that ladder match, you could just hear the crowd intensify. And the fact Parrish got even quicker up the ladder with every scream from every fan that wanted to boo him. I know I kid, I know I jest about him, but damn is he a solid worker. And then Pride, you know, he puts every spot in he can to try and take out Parrish, but once again, just falling a little short. And I don't know what it's going to take for him to finally figure out this next level that he needs to get to advance in gaining that CWC championship. Now, my surprise of the night, and for me it's a surprise good and a surprise bad. It's going to go to the entrant of Angelica into the Battle Royal. Good on her for being in there. Bad on those damn referees for screwing that one up. Both referees made a conscious decision to remove Angelica. Eventually she left willingly, but she really wanted to get in there and mix it up with the boys. And once again, I'm going to say have at them, because frankly, I think she could have eliminated four or five people that were already in the ring. She might have had a little bit of trouble with Bradley Graham, but I think that might have been the only one that might have been the issue there. But that's going to wrap it up here for this edition of Quick Calls, folks. Don't forget to pick up our merchandise at oneofmaneuver.net. Edmonton SPN has our Front Row Mafia shirts, as well as the hottest selling shirts on the market right now, the Danimal Daniel Jobber shirts. And then, of course, yes, we do have the Struggle, as well as vintage OWE shirts. But in terms of network marketing coming up here, we're going to have the Sounds of Struggle. I'm hearing a rumor that they're struggling to find a time when to record the Sounds of Struggle. So there's a certain concert going on in Edmonton that's sort of taken away their regular time. So I think the bell might toll on the Sounds of Struggle this week. I might fill it in with a blown call show. I got a couple topics I want to talk about, including leading into the Mayweather-McGregor fight and some thoughts I've seen online here. But don't forget, we're going to have Jobbing Out with the Danimal coming up this week, setting up for that Tozawa-Neville match at SummerSlam. But then, of course, our next quick call show is going to be coming up from the Northgate Line Senior Center in Edmonton next Saturday with the Prairie Wrestling Alliance. I don't know any results of what happened tonight in Calgary yet, outside of the fact that Aiden Adams won the 2 out of 3 falls match against Michael Richard Blaze. However, the final fall was by disqualification, and therefore he's unable to win the championship due to a disqualification. That seems like an Andy Anderson rule to me. Hashtag fire Andy. But I'm going to digress at that point. Now, don't forget to check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network YouTube page coming up Sunday night. I'm going to shoot for 6 o'clock, folks. I'm going to try and make this a regular time now on non-WWE pay-per-view nights. I'm going to get up CWC Evolution. It's going to... this one is going to detail 2 tag team matches, including the Wrecking Crew versus Lumberjack Larry and the 7-Foot Orion. Also with the hodgepodge tag team of Johnny Kickass and the Irishman taking on Michael Richard Blaze and T.S. Cutler. And then that Indie Dream match between Kato, the Asian Assassin, and Aiden Adams. You're not going to want to miss it, folks. Myself and Jude Dawkins on commentary. Hell of a show. Hell of a show coming up. So, but that's going to wrap it up here, folks. If you want to get a hold of me, my Twitter account is at MikeTheRef. You can also contact me by email at theblowncallshow@gmail.com. My Instagram is MikeTheRefEDM. There's a million different ways you can get a hold of me, folks. Feel free to. I'm more than willing to hear your feedback. The only thing I ask is if you're going to post something, typing it publicly, please keep it in proper language. If you're going to include foul language, I will delete your comments. And for people that have seen, I've already done that with someone already on our account. So, but I want to thank each and every one of you for checking out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network and Quick Calls. I am Mike the Ref telling you that if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls from the Abbey Master Builder Center in Black Falls, Alberta, with the Canadian Wrestling Coalition King of the Mountain Show, here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out edmontonspn.podbean.com.